right, take your Bibles tonight. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians, chapter 6. Before we get started tonight, I know many of you have been asking me about our addiction recovery program called The Bridge. Of course, back September of last year, we made a change from where we were doing our previous addiction recovery program, and we went in a direction that we really was kind of waiting on the Lord to show us where to go. And God has really been blessing. We've been doing a curriculum called The Bridge to Recovery. With Ben Burks, who was the international director of the other group that we were involved in, along with Dr. George Crabb and Andrew Friedenstein, who's also over part of the Awake America program that they do up in Washington, D.C. with ministries to our senators and representatives. And also Scott Calling, who is the director of a recovery program in Bridgeport, Michigan. And all five of us had collaborated together, and we wrote a curriculum, and we're in the process of getting all of that done. And we've seen some really great results in our recovery program. And for you folks that are church members, understand that not only is our recovery program for people from the outside who are addicts and needing help for their addictions, but it's also a discipleship program, because the Bible tells us that if we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And as we know that addiction is just a flesh problem, that we've got it's a worship problem, is what it is. And we've been seeing about 60 on Friday nights, and we really could use several more church members to come get involved, because we're getting a lot of people from the outside, especially from the VOA, the Volunteers of America Halfway House that we pick up every Friday night. We're seeing some great results. We're seeing a lot of them come for the being here on Friday nights, being here Sunday morning for the Overcomer class, and then wanting to stay in the area, to stay involved in the program, and plus join our church and get involved in the ministries of our church. And we're needing some disciples. We're needing disciples. We're needing some people to be mentors. We're needing some people to come alongside and help us lead these people to Christ and lead them to walk in the Spirit, so they'll not go back to the fulfilling of their flesh and back to their addictions and stubborn habits. So if the Lord's calling you, let me encourage you to get involved in that ministry. We've got a place for you, and we could use you, and you could use us, okay? So help us with that. I have been preaching a series through the armor of the Lord. You know, not just the little, we're in the Lord's army, which we are, okay? But we've been going through each part of the Lord's army, and then I got down to the last of the armor of the Lord, and realized when we got to the sword of the Spirit, there was a lot there that really just piqued my attention. And in our recovery program, we're taught, and we try to teach, to take the Word of God and dissect it and define it. Really dig into what the Word of God says, so that it can change your heart and help us to become more like Christ. And as I got into this, and then of course speaking to some very close friends, a very close friend of mine that kind of gave me this idea, and I looked at that and I went, man, I've never seen that before. The Lord helped me to understand some things about the sword of the Spirit that I really want to try to teach you tonight. I preached this in the Bridge several weeks ago, so you guys that heard it a couple of Friday nights ago, don't worry, it's a whole lot different now, okay? Because the more the Lord has showed me. So I've asked the Lord to give me freedom tonight to preach exactly what He wants to. My wife tells me I preach a whole lot better when I don't use my notes. So I'm going to try to use less of my notes and let the Holy Spirit lead me to say some things tonight that I hope will be a blessing to you, and hope it'll be a help to you as well, as it's helped me. I told you last time I preached, I want to I try to bring something to you that is fresh for me. What the Lord is teaching me. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that tonight. So I'm really excited about the message and hope it'll be a blessing to you. So look in Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to begin our reading in verse number 10. And we're going to read down to verse number 17 for our scripture tonight. So look with me, Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse number 10. Ephesians 6 and verse number 10. The Bible says, God's Word says, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against principalities, but against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the armor, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." And by the way, let me just add this. We are living in the evil day. "And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Father, I'm just asking you again to anoint me tonight. Anoint your Word. Lord, I'm asking you for help tonight as I bring this message to these people that you've brought together tonight. And Lord, I want to be clear. I want to be precise. You know I have a stammering tongue. And I pray you'd help me. Help me be clear. Help me be precise. But more importantly, I pray that the Holy Spirit would take the words that you lead me to say and would instill it in the hearts of your people, that people will walk away tonight excited about the Word of God, excited about what you want to show them from your Word. And Lord, but more importantly, that if someone is not saved here tonight, that they will come and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And then also they'd walk away tonight saying it was good to be in the house of the Lord, but more importantly, that the Word of God spoke to them tonight in some way, in some fashion. And Lord, we'll give you honor and glory and praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Many years ago, there was a coach that said, and this really depends on what sport you're talking about, because it can really work for all sports, whether it's basketball, football, hockey, whatever your favorite sport is. But they said this: the best defense is a good offense. The best defense is a good offense. Some people say the best offense is a good defense. But I believe that probably, depending on the situation, when the Apostle Paul wrote this, that he's going with the best offense is a good defense. The best offense is a good defense. Now, I say that to say this. As we go through all of these armor of the Lord, you'll realize that all of these but one are defensive, and only one is offensive. Have you ever noticed that? And if you look at these, they're really kind of interesting. The belt of truth. Truth is important. Righteousness is important. Faith is important. The gospel of peace is important. And of course, salvation is important. So, in all of these armor of the Lord that the Lord tells us to put on, He really tells us to take it and put it on. He wants us to take these things and put on the armor of the Lord to protect us against the fiery darts of Satan. Or when we talk about the fiery darts, we're talking about these fiery missiles. If you remember, some of you back during the Gulf War, you remember the Scud missiles that used to come from Iran and go over toward Israel and all those in the United States. Had this missile defense system that would shoot these things out of the air just like that. And that's exactly what the message tonight is about, what verse number 17 says, And that is our offensive weapon, which is what? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, I want you to get a mental picture here of what's going on, all right? Where is Paul? Paul's in prison. More than likely, he's fastened or in close proximity to a Roman soldier. And as he's looking through all of these, he's looking at this Roman soldier, I believe he's looking at him from head to toe. And by looking at the armor of the Lord, we kind of get that idea that that's exactly what he's doing. He's talking about the sandals. He's talking about the belt or the girdle and he's talking about the breastplate. And he's talking about the helmet. And he's talking about the sandals. And he's given us a mental picture, but at the same time, he's given us a spiritual application, because he's wanting to teach us how important putting on the armor of the Lord is. Now, let me give you another reference to another verse that's found in Romans chapter 13, verse number 14, that says this: put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, don't miss that. And put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now, the typical Roman soldier, now keep in mind, Paul's given us a visual here that has a spiritual application. Most Roman soldiers would carry a spear that they always carried around with them. But the spear would not be necessary for setting in prison. So what he would have what would be called a dagger, all right? A dagger. Now, dagger would be, when we think of a sword, we think of something long. And in fact, I kind of brought a visual to maybe kind of help you understand what I'm talking about. Now, this sword was given to me by Brother Talabat in the Philippines back a few years ago when I took a missionary trip down to the Philippines. But these are heavy. And more than likely, these swords were sometimes even longer than this. And it was very cumbersome. And when we see Roman soldiers, we see this big old long sword. And as you tell, it would be kind of cumbersome trying to go from here to there to bring out. And it's usually wielding with two hands. All right? Now, this is the illustration he's given. But probably a Roman soldier did not have one similar to this. What he would do, probably a Roman soldier would have one similar to this, but maybe just a little bit longer, where it would be easy for him to just pull it out of his girdle real quick and fight hand-to-hand combat, because he wanted a weapon where he could get in close proximity to do harm to the enemy. Now, as I was studying this passage of Scripture, there was something that was very interesting that I found here. And I want you to look at verse number 17 again, toward the end of this verse, and notice what it says. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, it's important to understand here that Paul doesn't mean the complete Bible here when he talks about the Word of God. And there are two words that are used in the original Greek scripture for the Word of God. One of them, we're probably a very familiar word that we use, and that is the word logos. And that would be the complete Word of God. And I want to use that illustration for this sword here, the complete Word of God. All right? And then, but that's not the one, but let me go back. Let me give you a few illustrations here that maybe help you to relate to that. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, the Logos, the complete Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then verse number 14 says, and the Word became flesh. The Logos became flesh and dwelt among us. We know that that's talking about Jesus Christ. So we want to use this as the Logos, as the complete Word, okay? But there's another word that we have, and that is the word rhema. Rhema. And it refers to a word that is spoken whether by a command or uttered by a living voice. It means an utterance or even a matter of topic. Now, don't miss this right here, okay? Now, in working with discipleship and helping people to walk in the things of the Lord, to learn and mature in the things of the Lord, and to grow and to see them overcome stubborn habits and addictions, what we see is that they're having trouble getting victory in their life because of the fact they don't know the Word of God. Oh, they know that the Word of God can give them victory. They know that. They know that, hey, this has the answer to all my problems. By the way, do you believe that God's Word has the answer to your problems? I believe in the sufficiency of God's Word. I believe that God's Word can help you with any stubborn habit or addiction. I believe that you can walk in the Spirit, and God wants us to walk in the Spirit. But the problem that people have is that I don't know how. How does that work? What does that look like? Now, we have our devotions every morning. I mean, we'll get up every morning, we'll read our Bible, we'll maybe spend some time in prayer, we'll close our Bible up, and within 5 minutes on our way to work, we don't even remember what we've read. Not alone applying any of it to our life. And how are we going to, and by the way, the fiery darts of Satan come all day long. Do you agree with that? And we've got to have a way of making sure we apply God's Word daily to our heart. Not just checking off a box and reading our Bible every day, doing our devotions or doing our book work, but really stopping and I'll get to this in a minute, but meditating on God's Word. It's very important. So a rhema word is a verse or portion of Scripture that the Holy Spirit brings to our attention with application to a current situation or need for direction. Now let me use this. Let's make this practical. We have a great pastor. I love our pastor. Amen. But I know you have, especially if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. I know you've sat here and pastor has read a passage of Scripture. And then he applies it, and you're sitting there thinking this: I've never seen that there before. I've read that verse all of my life, and I have. And where did that come from? Are you with me? What is that? That's a rhema word. That is a word that the Holy Spirit has given directly and specifically to you to do this, to apply to your life. God's Word is to be applied to our life daily. Not just read it every morning and get up and by the way, the word devotion means that I'm devoted to it. I'm not just devoted for the 5 minutes or the 10 minutes or the 15 minutes or the 30 minutes or the hour that I read the Word of God every day. I'm devoted to it all through the day. Amen? It's something that I'm constantly meditating on all through the day. Now, we know that God's Word is inspired because it tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration to God. And it's profitable for doctrine, that's what's right. For reproof, that's showing us what's wrong. For correction, that's showing us how to get right. And for instruction in righteousness, that's showing us how to stay right. That the man of God may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You see, it is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's job is to illuminate the Scriptures and for application in our daily walk with the Lord. Now, let me tell you this. Satan wants to deceive you. Satan wants to distract you. And let me just come down to it. Satan wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy everything about you, especially anything that has to do with the Lord. And by the way, he not only does it from a distance, he wants to do it up close too. Now, where where a soldier would use this maybe for long battles, this would be kind of hard to do in close hand-to-hand combat. If somebody got close to you, you'd have a hard time wielding this sword. This is the Logos. This is Rhema. The close, personal battles that we have with Satan every day. And we do have them every day. Let me tell you something. When you're having an issue with an addiction, or when you're having an addiction depression, or whatever sin that you may be having or having trouble with, or maybe you're having trouble with maybe someone at work. Let me tell you something. It's the rhema word that you need the most. Something that you can apply to your heart, apply to your life, so that you can get victory over the power of Satan. Now, there are a lot of different rhema words that are found in the Bible. Listen to this one. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." You remember Jesus told Peter that he was going to deny him before the cock crew? You remember that when the cock crew, Peter called to mind the word or the rhema that Jesus said to him before the cock crowed thrice, "Thou shalt deny me thrice." And when he thought thereon, the Bible says that he wept. What did he do? He remembered exactly the word that Jesus had told him. It's like his conscience says, "Man, I remember Jesus saying that." Now hang on, I'm going somewhere with this, but I want you to remember that thought. The Bible also says, if you abide in me and my words or rhema abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. That was John 15, verse 7. Listen, when I'm walking with the Lord daily in my devotion life, I'm not interested in my will. I'm interested in His will. And when I'm interested in His will, then anything that I ask, He's going to give it to me. But it's not according to my will. It's according to what? To His will. Let me give you a practical illustration. There was a man I've been counseling with for a while about his issue with depression, and he'd been having some very terrible emotional and spiritual depression. He was one of the most lonely and isolated, miserable people I've ever met. So we met together every week for a while, and it just seemed like I was having some difficulties trying to get him to understand some things. But his victory over his sin, or over the sin of depression, began when he decided to pray a single phrase of Scripture whenever he was in the grip of depression. That it was one portion of Scripture that he, in faith, laid hold of. And he rejected everything else that we tried, but there was one thing that stuck to him, and it was this, the words that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. And what was that? "Not my will, but thine, O Lord. Not my will, but thine, O Lord." And he began, anytime that he'd have a problem with depression, he would quote that over and over and over again, and let that be his rhema word so that he could get victory over Satan with his depression. And like the sun coming up, the light began to dawn, and you could see the change in his life. Today he's living a normal, free life. He's been set free by the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the rhema Word of God, given specifically for his situation that changed his life. Now, probably all of us now tonight have a life verse, don't we? How many of you have a life verse? Why do you have a life verse? It's a verse that you have done what? Applied to your life in certain places of your life. Isn't that right? It's a word that you've specifically used for a time in your life that radiates who you are in Christ. But when you're having issues with sin, what are you relying on? Well, hey, I know that the Word of God can give me victory. I just know the Word of God can give me victory. But I'm having a problem with this issue, and I know the Word of God can give me victory. Well, what verse in the Word of God can give you victory? You see, the verse that God wants to give you through the spoken, through the Word of God is a word, a rhema word that you can apply to your own personal life. Let me give you another illustration. If you're having issues with pornography, you should have Psalm 101, verse number 3, memorized. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. That should be a verse that you have memorized. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave unto me. When you're having issues with giving everything for God's glory, you need to remember 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, where it says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the what? The glory of God. I want my life to bring glory to God. And when my life is not bringing glory to God for something that I'm doing or something I shouldn't be doing, I need to remember that word and let that verse be God's rhema word for me to apply to my life. How about this one? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let what? Let your requests be made known to God. Be anxious for nothing is what that word careful. When I'm have an anxious feeling like I did this afternoon preparing for this message, I don't know why it is, Miss Tori. I get out here, I just get scared. I don't know what it is. What do I have to do? Stop, Lord. You tell me in your word. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by what? Prayer and supplication. Lord, I'm bringing my prayer and I need you to supply my needs and help me through this. Because I'm a nervous wreck right now. That's God's rhema word for me. When we have trouble with trusting the Lord, we need to have God's rhema word. Of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 that says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He'll what? He'll direct my paths. When I'm having a thought that I shouldn't have, I need to remember 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 5, that says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Oh, folks, listen. If we would just understand that in the closeness of our battles with ourself, that Satan is right here face to face like he was with Jesus in the temptation. What did Jesus do? He didn't say the Word of God. No, he says by the Word of God in Matthew chapter 4, verse number 4. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word. By the way, that's not logos. Guess what that is? Rhema. You can't apply God's Word if you don't know God's Word. Did you hear that? You can't apply God's Word unless you know God's Word. You say, Brother Earl, how can I know God's Word? Well, let me help you. It's four simple things, and I'm going to just read these off, and then I'm going to make an application, and we'll stop. Number one, read the Word of God. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. To doctrine. Second, number two, studying. 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We've got to read it. We've got to study it. And then number three, we've got to memorize it. Memorize it. Now, the word memorized in the Bible is not there. I look for it, but it's not there. But Psalm 119:11 is a good principle to help me understand how important it is to memorize the Word of God. You know what Psalm 119:11 says? It says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You see, where does the Holy Spirit work in helping us to recall verses when we're in time of temptation, we're in time of need? We get it from memorizing the Word of God. And then the number four is to meditate. to meditate on the Word of God. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein both day and night, that thou mayest observe to do it according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Success is not how much money you have. Success is not how much, and how much, if anything you have, success is how much of Jesus you have. How much of Jesus you have. Psalm 1:2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Christians are defeated in daily living because they have fought the devil with the weapons of their own choosing. You know why you live a defeated life? It's because we do it in our own resources. We do it in our own power. We do it in our own moral stamina. And if the Lord vanquished the devil with three verses from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 3, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16, and Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 20. By the way, I'm developing a message on that. All right? Then certainly if it was good enough for Jesus, it is good enough for you and I. We've got to study it. We've got to read it. We've got to study it. We've got to memorize it. We've got to meditate it. And then, write this down. We've got to yield. We've got to yield to it. We have to give way to it. You see, all we can do is yield to the indwelling Spirit that can use His Word. You see, Christians make the grievous mistake here of trying to handle the sword themselves. Trying to wield it instead of yielding. I cannot understand the Word. I cannot teach the Word. I cannot preach it. Nor can I use it against the adversary. I've got to go forth empty-handed. Here's the illustration. You remember in the Old Testament, in Judges chapter 7, about Gideon? You remember he started out with 32,000 soldiers. God said, you got too many. You got too many. It went down to 10,000. Gideon was starting to get a little, ooh, Lord, there's 130-something thousand of them. How are we going to do this? And then said, oh, you still have too many. He brought it down to what? 300. And they won the battle with 300. How'd they do it? The Bible says they were carrying pitchers that had candles in it and a trumpet. Isn't that right? And what did they shout? The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. The sword of the Lord and Gideon. And let me use another illustration. How about Samson? You remember Samson? He went and fought the lions of Timnath. And the Bible says that he was able to rip and kill those lions just like that. But it wasn't his power. Whose power was it? It was God's. It was God's power. Listen, when we try to do things in our power, nothing is impossible with God. I think I said that wrong. I did. When we do things in God's power, all things are possible. But when we try to do things in our power, we're going to fail. And that's exactly what happened to Samson. He thought that he was going to just kill everybody and break forth of those bonds that were holding him. And what ended up happening? That's exactly because the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord departed him. How about this one? How about Joshua in the Battle of Jericho? Marched around it seven times. Seven times the last day. They shouted. What happened? The walls fell down what? Flat. It wasn't what they did. It was them obeying and showing obedience to God's Word that allowed them to get to victory. And let me tell you tonight, if you're going to get victory over your stubborn habits and addictions or any sin or anything that's going on in your life that's keeping you from being who God wants you to be, you're not going to be able to do it without the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And that's the only way you do it. And let's use the example of Gideon and of Joshua and of Samson to see God work a great miracle, because He wants us to live victorious Christian lives. And what breaks my heart is seeing people that who've been Christians all their life succumb to temptation because they have not read, they have not studied, they've not memorized, they've not meditated, and they've not yielded to the Holy Spirit. There's a lot more on this that I could spend another hour, but I'm not. But I think the Lord of God has spoken to you tonight. Let's bow our heads. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I know that probably on most Wednesday nights, everybody here knows the Lord as their personal Savior. They're saved. You may be here tonight and you don't know the Lord. You don't know what it is to fight the wiles of the devil. You remember that Satan tempted Jesus face to face. He didn't do it in a long distance. He did it face to face. And let me tell you, every day, face to face, we go through our life with trials, with temptations. And even more than ever, we need the Word of God, the illuminating power of the Holy Spirit to illuminate God's Word that we can fight against the wiles of the devil. Let me ask you, what's your Rhema word today? What did God show you in your devotions this morning? Or have you totally forgotten what you've read this morning? Have you even forgot what you read in your devotions this morning? What you read and maybe the worth in the Word? My prayer tonight, if there's something that God has spoken to you about that maybe you have not, that you haven't brought to Him, I pray that you walk away here with a rhema word that you can defeat the wiles of the devil and live a victorious Christian life. Father, thank you for this, for your word. Thank you that it is a two-edged sword. Thank you that it is fire. Thank you that it's a hammer. Father, thank you for your written word of God. Lord, help us to apply this tonight. I don't know how it's going to apply to every person here, but the Holy Spirit does. If there's someone here that needs to make a decision tonight, I pray that tonight would be the night. We'll give you glory and honor for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. If God's dealt with you about any particular subject tonight, I pray that you come as Brother Sim sings.